Hi, this is Erin Helmrich, and in this episode, AADL talks to Kristen Kish, Season 10 Top Chef winner and Chef de Cuisine at Montan in Boston. Kristen is only the second female winner in Top Chef history. Hear about her Michigan roots, her culinary journey, her Top Chef experience, and her chef career in Boston. So, welcome home to Michigan. Do you have any particular fond Michigan summer memories or like food and drink that you always like to get when you come home?
It's typically just kind of being at home and being with family. Grew up, so driving down like the highway, you have like the corn stands, the peaches, and the cherries. So, corn, peaches, and cherries are like very fond food memories for me. As well as just sitting out on the deck, my mom would always make me shuck the corn. I'd get all the hairs all over me, and I'd be so angry.
Yeah.
But then I would be the one to eat the most.
Okay.
So she'd be like, that's why you're cleaning the corn.
And you lived over outside Grand Rapids. Did you get to go to Lake Michigan much and go swimming?
Yeah, Lake Michigan. A lot of time spent there in high school. Friends would rent houses and, you know, you drive up and down the strip and it's kind of like spring break sort of. and then now that my parents live out on a lake, we don't really have the need, I guess, to go as often, but, hoping to make a trip out there this time around.
Awesome. So how long, I know you changed restaurants in Boston and you're at Menton now.
Yeah.
How long have you been there and have you felt like you've gotten comfortable with the kitchen and everything at this point?
Getting more comfortable as each day passes. Started in the beginning of June. Was at Stir, so the same company, for a little over 2 years, and then made the transition over. And it's probably one of the better decisions that I've done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Excellent. And I know it seems like more people are concerned about you starting your own restaurant than you are.
Yes.
So that's something down the road for you if the time is right and it's just the right opportunity.
Yeah, I think timing's everything. I always said that I never really wanted to go off television and open up something of my own. You want to make a very clear, you want a very clear line of people are coming to your restaurant because they want to eat your food, not necessarily see you because you were just on TV.
Right.
So waiting for that kind of to subside, and I want to give my time to the new restaurant, essentially.
Awesome.
But yes, in due time, I will.
With that in mind, do you have any particular favorite ingredients you like to cook with?
Butter, salt, and then sherry vinegar kind of goes into most things that I do.
Okay.
So I use it just like I do salt.
What about, whenever I hear anyone talking about cooking seasonally, I always wonder if chefs, and you in particular, have a season that you'd like to cook for
better than
a particular season.
That's tough. I mean, towards the end of each season, you're kind of craving that next season. So craving tomatoes and the corn and all that kind of stuff right now, summer truffles. But then come, you know, end of August, going into September, I'll be ready to be done with tomatoes.
Yeah.
And I want to start like braising and kind of some cooler weather.
Yeah.
Cooking.
Do a different. Well, with that in mind, towards the end of winter, are you getting a little crazy and tired of root vegetables?
Exactly. There's only so many things you can do with root vegetables, as is there are only so many things you can do with tomatoes too.
Yeah.
But I do like summer ingredients because you don't have to do as much to them.
Yeah.
They're really beautiful as is. And, you know, I'm not about overcomplicating food.
Yeah. I have to say, when I was reading that last interview, it made me feel a lot better about not enjoying cooking for myself.
Yeah.
That you don't seem to enjoy that either. So can you just talk about that a little bit? And you also mentioned that you do really enjoy cooking for friends.
Yeah. I mean, it's not very satisfying for me to cook for myself. I don't want to put in so much work and then I sit down and eat it by myself. That's kind of boring. And I also don't like to eat what I cook. So you taste it all day and you're around it all day. I'd rather cook for somebody else. So, you know, that being said, when I cook for somebody else, I like to do more rustic style dishes. Something simple that doesn't take a lot of time, but that's still kind of, there's attention to detail still.
Yeah. So your friends don't like get mad that you don't want to cook. They're not disappointed that you don't want to cook the full gourmet meal for them.
Well, you know, they can come to the restaurant if they want that. But a lot of my friends are in the restaurant industry as well, so they all understand.
They understand, and they probably have similar
feelings.
We just
go to the bar and we drink.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Okay, so for Top Chef, were you a fan of Top Chef at all? Did you watch it before you ever even thought of trying out?
I watched a few seasons. kind of fell off just with work and life. You don't really have much time to kind of keep up on a TV series. Yeah. But obviously knew of the show and had watched a couple seasons before and knew that it had a lot of, you know, a lot of very respectable show amongst industry people and non-industry people.
It's kind of nice for us that the second winner, female winner of Top Chef, because we had Stephanie Izard here a few years ago. Yeah. She went to U of M, didn't grow up in Michigan, but had the Michigan connection. Mm-hmm. So one of the things I definitely noticed with her and also with you is that obviously remaining calm under pressure is one of the things that gets you through, aside from just being a really good cook and chef mm-hmm. on the show. Can you talk about that experience in terms sure. of just why you felt like you went into it and you were able to keep your cool unlike some of the other competitors?
You know, I never really, well, going into it, I never really pictured myself going on television at any point. You know, we're chefs and we want to spend the most time in the kitchen as possible. That being said, had a lot of encouragement to go on it from my boss. So she says, do it, I do it. I think it's, the first thing they told you to do on the show, right when you stepped on set, they were like, just be yourself. I don't think I'm a, I try not to think I'm a hot-headed person, and I think clearly, hopefully. Mm-hmm. And I think if you start losing control, then that's when you kind of, failures and mistakes happen. So I like to think I'm a relatively calm-natured person anyways.
Yeah.
So it wasn't out of the box for me.
Okay. With that in mind, do you, you know, a lot of the fans of the show were upset when you were kicked off sort of controversially, but then obviously really happy to see you fight back in Last Chance Kitchen. Do you have a lot of people, like maybe more so during the show being aired, that people, strangers, will talk to you about this aspect of
so
it?
So many. I think more people were upset about it than I was. Like when I left, I was like, all right, that's okay. The whole Last Chance Kitchen thing and even a possibility of coming back never really crossed my mind until I had to compete the first time in it. I kind of felt bad for my, the other, Josie.
Yeah.
Because people were very, very mean to her and they were brutal. At the end of the day, it's a TV show.
Yeah.
You know, it's not the rest of your life.
Yeah.
It can set you up for really great things. But everyone on the show kind of does amazing things afterwards, whether, you know, they made it all the way to the mm-hmm. end or was kicked off first. So,
yeah,
a lot of feedback from people I don't know.
I bet. Well, we had a local chef here who competed on, I'm not sure which season it was, and she got kicked off pretty fast. And, I mean, it's funny because as somebody who watches the show, and of course we're not tasting your food, it still seems pretty obvious that some people can be really great chefs and just can't deal with the environment of being on the show.
You know, I'm not the best chef, and there are amazing people on all the different seasons. I just happen to do well in that environment. You know, at the end of the day, you're one, or not one, rather 20 contestants on each season. It's been 10 seasons. So it's a very elite group of people that are selected to go on that show. So we're all very lucky.
How did you feel about the way they handled the finale this year? Did you like that?
I liked it being in it. But once it aired and I watched it all happen, there were flaws, for sure. And, you know, people have talked about it before. Some of the judges and Tom and Gail have spoken very openly about it. The biggest thing is what you knew who won.
Right.
Because time was running out and they went to commercial. So I wish they would have seen how we got to pick our sous chefs, because everyone was like, well, how did Kristen get the last three people that made it and Brooke got this different array? And I'm like, well, we chose. It wasn't like handed to me. So, yeah, I like the environment of cooking in front of all those people. I wish I didn't have to create 80 different plates. I'd rather focus on 10 perfect plates. But you make the judges
perfect. I didn't even think about that because, the audience was...
And you're prepping for a larger volume. But the amount of time that they gave us was really, really generous. And they gave us a little bit of a heads up before we even went on and went to film.
Actually, when Stephanie Izard was here, she talked about how insanely boring the stew room can be. Are there other aspects of the show on Top Chef that, you know, you think fans would be surprised or just like... Really, I didn't have any clue that you were spending that much time doing that.
Yeah, the stew room, you're in there for, you know, on average, probably 6 hours. It's boring. It's hot. I swear to God, they don't put the air conditioner on for a reason. gets people cranky. Right. They fill you with alcohol. Yeah. They don't really have that much food to eat. Yeah. So you're starving, you're stressed, and you're drunk. So that makes for really great television. And I know they don't do it on purpose, but they have to stick to a very strict timeline.
Yeah.
It's still a TV show.
Yeah. Like other reality TV shows, did they take everything away from you? Do you not have your phone or
Yeah, no. We're completely sequestered from the world.
Yeah.
We were in Seattle, but didn't really see much of Seattle.
Okay.
No free time. There were no TVs or anything, radios, music, for the 2 months that we were there.
That was probably the hardest thing for some people.
Yeah, because you gain inspiration from just being out in the world and what you want to cook, and that's all taken away.
Yeah.
So you're like digging inside of your repertoire, inside your head, and trying to memorize recipes and especially baking things.
Because you're not allowed to have any books or anything.
No, you can bring. Yeah, we were told we could bring an empty journal, and then they would let us know when we could write in it.
Okay.
So I memorized stuff before I got there, and as soon as I got there, I wrote down like bread stuff and like ratios and everything.
Okay.
But I never used it.
Okay.
So you don't have time.
Right.
You don't have time at all.
Right. So can you talk a little bit about you grew up in Michigan? Did you have food and cooking as part of your childhood too, or what were your influences that kind of drove you towards this profession?
I mean, I grew up with a very normal family, I think, like very simple Midwestern roots. So like, you know, family dinners every night and, you know, my mom, my dad, and my brother and I all had our separate seats and, you know, at the dinner table.
Yeah.
But it really came from television show, Great Chefs of the World. It was on Discovery Channel and started watching that when I was 5 and picked up my first chef's knife at 5.
Okay.
Yeah.
Have you seen any of the videos? They're on YouTube right now. I think her name is Rin. There's a little Japanese girl whose mother films these videos of her eating, like, all of this international food.
I haven't.
Yeah, I'll have to send you a link.
Okay.
Because, I mean, they're getting a lot of attention because, you know, they talk about how so many American children are such picky eaters.
Yeah.
And this little girl is, like, eating everything. I mean, they're Japanese, but she's making American and French and Korean food. Did you eat a lot of different kinds of food growing up, or?
No.
Yeah.
I don't. I hated mushrooms and hated tomatoes as a kid. It would make me gag. I hated sour cream, English muffins, anything that was sour and tart, I hated. I wasn't an adventurous eater, but I liked the process of cooking, probably because I didn't know any better.
Yeah.
But my mom brought me to kimchi festivals when I was young to try to kind of teach me Korean culture the best that she knew how. So that kind of was kind of implanted really young. But really, it was just all from TV. So I would see like all these great ingredients that I had no idea what they tasted like or how to cook them, but it sounded fantastic.
Yeah. Do you know how to do much Korean cooking now? Or?
Nope. Leave that to the professionals.
Yeah.
I know nothing about it. Not any Asian cooking really in my repertoire. I like using ingredients and highlighting kind of subtle flavors here and there, but it's mainly French and Italian.
And you're still looking forward to taking a big trip there at some point,
2014.
Right?
Don't quote me, but 2014, I think it's going to happen.
Yeah.
I have to go overseas anyways to for another event, so I was just going to kind of tack it on
awesome.
So I don't have to leave the restaurant too many times.
How many restaurants does that one particular group have?
8.
In Boston?
All in Boston.
Okay.
3 different neighborhoods, and then a catering company as well.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And your best friend that you went on the show with, are you guys still roommates, or are you
No,
still...
so we were never
roommates.
Roommates.
Just
friends. Yeah, we lived in the same building 2 doors down, and it was a very, very funny circumstance that we both ended up there. I will not go into detail, but she's doing really well. She's still with the company. She's the sous chef at Number 9, and we're still best friends.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
To learn more about Kristen Kish and Top Chef, seasons past and present, visit bravotv.com. Music for this episode was Allah Aman by Two Life, which you can find in the AADL catalog by going to aadl.org/magnitude. AADL Talks to Christian Kish has been a production of the Ann Arbor District Library.